Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Whenever a new administration takes over in Washington, there is often a period of where agencies review policies and decide how to approach complex issues. One of these issues that is usually top of mind is trade, a critical tool for American agriculture to sustain our businesses and fulfill our mission of providing the food, fiber, and fuel our nation and world depends on. For nearly 9 months, the Office of the United States Trade Representative has been evaluating next steps with China. The purchase commitment for agriculture in the Phase 1 deal negotiated under the previous administration is nearing its end, and America's farmers and ranchers need reliable market access in China and other countries around the world. While agriculture exports to China have record highs, they are still far short of what China agreed to in the deal. Last week, U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai shared that the administration would keep tariffs in place on China while holding them accountable for their commitments under Phase 1. However, it wasn't reassuring to hear that the administration won't pursue any negotiations for a Phase 2 deal. As we deliver safe, sustainable products to our customers near and far, we must also ensure American farmers and ranchers have a level playing field in new and existing markets. For example, we should re-engage with the countries in the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for the Trans-Pacific Partnership so the United States can access more markets in the region. In the past few months, China, Taiwan, and the United Kingdom have all applied to join the CPTPP, and the U.S. should be next. We can't be left behind. When exploring trade partnerships across the Atlantic, we must remove the non-tariff barriers that limit our ability to compete in the European Union. American farmers and ranchers lead the world in climate-smart practices, and it's critical that our trade partners recognize these gains without placing limits on the tools we need to achieve our sustainability goals. When Agriculture Secretary Vilsack visited the EU recently, he emphasized the importance of allowing countries to approach sustainability in their own way and not limit which agriculture goods can be imported based on restrictive policies in the EU's Farm to Fork initiative. The USDA estimates that food insecurity would skyrocket if those policies were implemented worldwide because of decreased food production. Last month, AFBF President Zippy Duvall had the opportunity to join a group of leaders in meeting with World Trade Organization's Director General, and these were some of the issues he raised. He also shared how removing tariffs and non-tariff barriers, strengthening science-based foods safety standards, and greater global trade transparency will help us succeed. The timing of this meeting could not have come at a better time. Later this month, trade representatives from many countries will meet at the WTO's ministerial meeting to discuss these very issues. U.S. agriculture has long been a global leader in trade, and we know that when we have a level playing field with other countries, our farmers and ranchers will continue to lead the way thanks to the care and dedication we put into our work. That is why it is so important whenever any country institutes unfair trading practices, we work to remove non-tariff barriers that stifle competition and create an uneven playing field for America's farmers and ranchers. AFBF President Zippy Duvall commented on the appointment of Rod Snyder as EPA Agriculture Advisor. In a statement, Duvall said AFBF congratulates Rod Snyder on his appointment as EPA's Agriculture Advisor. There are several important issues facing agriculture that will require effective communication with EPA, including the new WOTUS rule, among other initiatives and regulations. As issues are deliberated within EPA, it is critical for the perspectives of farmers and ranchers to be representative, and Rod will be that voice. Of course, it's equally critical for EPA to engage directly with farmers and ranchers, and I'm confident also confident Rod will be a strong advocate for such engagement and collaboration as he has demonstrated in several roles. New Mexico's diverse agriculture industry provides over $1.3 billion in dairy production by value, $102 million in onion production by value, that's 10% of the nation's onion crop by value, $50 million in chili pepper production by value, which is 78% of the nation's chili pepper crop by value, and numerous other crops and livestock products. As with the majority of the Mountain West, New Mexico has suffered from this season's extensive drought. Ranchers are culling cattle and farmers are fallowing land to accommodate the lack of precipitation. Pecan growers, though, have adapted particularly well in these conditions. Lawmakers on the House Agriculture Committee held another hearing on livestock market issues last week, hearing from producers, packers, and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and other lawmakers. Scott Bennett, AFBF Congressional Relations Director, explained that the hearing included testimony from Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Bennett said it's the first time in modern history that a sitting senator has come across the Capitol to the House to testify in front of a committee. Senator Grassley has an effort around mandatory minimum negotiated trade, and he pled his case in front of the committee. We also had Secretary Vilsack discuss what USDA is doing in regard to the livestock industry, including the $500 million for small and regional packing capacity expansion. The Agriculture Department is rolling out a new insurance option specifically for agriculture producers with small farms who sell locally. The new micro-farm policy simplifies record-keeping and covers post-production costs like washing and value-added products. USDA's Risk Management Agency created the new policy based on research directed by the 2018 Farm Bill, and it includes feedback from farmers who grow for their local communities. The policy will be available beginning with the 2022 crop year. AFBF and the National Society for Minorities in Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Related Sciences announced they have entered into an agreement with the goal of increasing minority involvement in agriculture. A memorandum of understanding signed Monday is expected to strengthen membership value for both organizations through collaboration on projects, including written content for each organization's publications, providing leadership training and expertise, and cross-promoting programs and events. We are excited to join with Manners and share Farm Bureau's resources and programs with potential new farmers and the next generation of leaders in agriculture, said AFBF President Zippy Duvall. Farmers and ranchers represent less than 2% of America's population, but are responsible for feeding the entire country and beyond. We will need the brightest minds and new perspectives to continue meeting the growing demand for healthy, affordable food. We believe the partnership we're forming today will benefit both of our organizations and all of agriculture. Released on September 30th, USDA's quarterly grain stocks report showed that as of September 1, old crop corn and soybean inventory levels had dropped, compelling USDA to update supply and demand expectations in the October World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, released on October 12th. Much higher than expected soybean stocks and the subsequent adjustments made for old and new crop supply and demand pushed soybean prices for the 2020-21 marketing year average and the 2021-22 marketing year down sharply. In the September grain stocks report, soybean ending stocks for the 2020-21 marketing year were increased by 81 million bushels, up 46% from the 175 million bushels USDA originally had pegged to 256 million bushels. This revision puts soybean ending stocks about 51% behind 2019 soybean stocks. Corn ending stocks were revised up from 1.187 billion bushels to 1.24 billion bushels, an increase of 6% and up from analysts' expectations of 1.15 billion bushels. This estimate is still about 36% lower than 2020 and close to 2013 levels, when the corn price for the average marketing year was around $4.46 per bushel. Wheat stock carryover is at its lowest point since 2014, but production is expected to be slightly lower given drier than normal weather conditions. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.